Coming from the backwoods of New Jersey, welcome to the Jersey Guys Music Podcast, where we feature in-depth music discussions and interviews with special guests from the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and AOR music. So settle in and crank it up. Now, here are your hosts, the Jersey Guys themselves, Tom and Mark.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jersey Guys podcast. I'm Mark Ballow here with my co-host, Tom Coyne. Today, we've got special guests from the band Jupiter Cyclops, a brand new band. We've got Dustin Lyon and we've got Jake Milius, right? Am I right with that?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, good. Dustin, you're the guitar player. Yeah. Jake, you're a bass player. Tom turned me on to you guys maybe about, I would say, no more than a month ago. And I quick ordered the CD and perfect timing. I just got it in the mail yesterday.
The wrap is still on it.
The wrapper's still plastic's still on it. I've been listening to it, streaming it for the last like few weeks, getting used to the music. But congratulations on the new album. Came out back in July of this year. The album is called Age of Euphonaut, right? Did I pronounce that
Age
right?
of the Euphonaut.
Yeah. I was like, is it UFO not or what? But it's Euphonaut.
Yeah, Euphonaut. Aaron just made that up.
That's really cool.
Intergalactical, interdimensional traveler of some sort.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, the first thing I got to ask is this is some of the coolest artwork I've seen, and we're going to post a picture, you know, when we're talking about it on the episode, but tell us a little bit about this cover and where that came from.
That all came from just out of the blue. We were just looking for artists to, we want like a real rock and roll something, but we wanted it to be like, we could say, this is what we want, build it. And we wanted to stay away from AI, 'cause that seems to be what everyone was doing. And, we just found this guy. I got to find his name. He's in Turkey.
Yeah, the Turkey.
Yeah, I think either Aaron and I found something that looked cool. And then Aaron just emailed him and started talking to him. And he goes, oh, I got this guy in Turkey. He's going to work on our stuff. And then like 2 days later, he just sent us this spread. And it was just like, oh, that's it. Like if you open that album, you see like alien heads. And
Yeah, I actually seen it. I seen Tom.
Yeah, it's so good. And he did it all quick. And anytime we need like, oh, could you make the alien head bigger? Like 10 minutes later, he would just send us something awesome.
Wow. So that's all original stuff. That's cool.
Yeah. It was all original, like just made for us.
Nice.
Yeah. He's easy to work with and it just all worked out.
Cool. Very cool. So the band, Jupiter Cyclops, you guys been around since 2019. The new album I said just came out back in July of this year. Tell us a little bit about the history of the band.
Oh, that's a long story.
We'll condense it a little bit.
All right. Aaron started the band with a drummer, and it was just a two-piece. And they were kind of like doom metal. And then just through the local scene, Aaron and I met, and he was like, hey, why don't you come jam with us? So we started jamming together. And I like doom, but I don't have as much patience to like play that. So all of a sudden, things started getting faster and heavier. And then we found Jake. Classic style, and I think a Craigslist ad.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And Aaron found him. It was just like, oh, he has long hair and a Rickenbacker. So they were like, call him up. And then he came
and he likes the Allman Brothers. What more could you want?
Right. Yeah, exactly. He came down and jammed, and it was like, oh, well, this works. And then we went through a bunch of drummers, but now we got Kyle Leeds, and he's pretty solid. So, you know, now we're just a solid unit rocking and rolling.
The drum sound on this album is terrific.
Oh, thank you.
In an era where it's very hard to find new bands that have good drum sounds. It's one of the most common things that people complain about with the new bands, getting that big, fat, beefy, legitimate drum sound. And he's got it. Who mixed this album and did all of that?
I did pretty much everything but the drums. And a little before Kyle is, I got a friend, I got to give a shout out, I guess, to Dylan Howard. He's my old friend from LA. And he did all the drums. And we were just in between drummers, but had like the label deal going. So it's like, you need to record this many songs by this date. And so I called him up and I sent him all the songs. And then 3 days later, he sent me back like a demo and was like, how does this sound? And I was just like, amazing. And so he did that. And then, I mean, we did the rest of the album at my house. Drums, bass.
In your closet.
Yeah.
Really? Much.
Yeah, the closet was a sound booth. And then I just mixed the whole thing and mixed it, mastered it. Yeah, just did everything.
Well, tell us, we talked about this before we went on the show. We're doing something new here on our podcast where we're featuring once, twice a month. We're going to try and do new and up and coming artists and feature them and give them a push, you know. And so talk about a little bit about the band's sound, because, you know, when Tom emailed me one day and he's like, have you heard this band, you know, Jupiter Cyclops? And I'm like, I've never heard of them. And he's like, just go on Bandcamp and listen. And I was just blown away. It's like, it's like a how would you explain it? I mean, it's got like a classic sort of 70s, some new wave of British heavy metal sounds in there, but it's got a little bit of that, like, I don't know, like retro sound. How would you describe your sound?
I mean, you pretty much nailed it. It does kind of have that 70s rock and the British heavy metal from the 80s. And I feel like we can kind of sneak in with the stoner crowd a little bit, but we're kind of like the oddballs out there a little bit.
Okay. Because I hear like everything from like Sabbath to Purple to Thin Lizzy and all that stuff. So it's just, I think it's going to appeal. So if you're watching this and anybody hasn't heard of these guys, you got to, if you just like the bands I just talked about, you got to check that out for sure.
So I wanted to take you through some of the songs, and I was going to, just to have a little fun with this, tell you what I heard as a music listener for 50 some odd years of hard rock. The opening track,
Euphonaut.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of new wave of British heavy metal on this opening song. You guys tell me if I'm right, wrong, or...
Yeah, we have no problem with that at all. I think Aaron wrote that main riff, and then we started jamming on it, and I was like, this kind of just needs like a big chorus, because the riff is so busy. And then we just wrote just big chordy chorus, and then he came in with, you know, the vocals, and it's like, let them ring out, put some reverb on those like they used to, and just kind of make everything bigger, you know? And so that's, yeah, that one just came out of the blue like that.
I mean, it's funny, because you have that little intro, little recorded intro part, and then it's like just the album, and it just comes in when a song comes in. It's like got this really like this great, like Tom mentioned, production. It's got this really nice, like warm feel to it, and great, great sound to the album.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. That's so good to hear that someone heard it and just was like, wow. Yeah. And we wanted it to sound like all the old school stuff. Like with the drums, like I don't like to do any like quantizing or snapping to the grid. And like all the guitars and bass, I think most of the bass is like one take all the way through.
Wow.
A lot of it,
yeah, and a lot of the guitars, I mean, I might have punched in like a little thing here or there to just tighten it up. But like we really wanted to keep it like a live band. That's how I always, when I discovered a band, I want to hear them live. Because like, to me, that's the real band. Especially nowadays with all like the studio magic tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
So with recording this, it's like, well, let's keep it live. Let's try to get that whole feeling.
So this this was recorded all four of you guys together?
No, this one was actually separate.
Okay.
But I mean, I would, like by live feel, I mean, not try to nitpick. And,
right.
You know, like punch in every little beat and make everything like a computer. Just keep it all loose and just have fun.
Yeah, as raw as we can make it for sure.
Yeah.
Now, was new wave of British heavy metal something you guys were really plugged into, or did your sound just kind of evaporated into that, and people were saying it sounds like, were you going for that sound? Were you into that scene? I guess the scene's a little bit before you guys' time.
Oh yeah, it was before our time, but we're still into that. I mean, I just saw Iron Maiden 2 weeks ago.
I'm going in 2 weeks myself.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, nice. I'm on the other side of the country, so you'll see them soon.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we grew up. I mean, I heard Black Sabbath when I was a kid. That changed my life. And then you hear Iron Maiden, it gets faster. And then, like, one of my favorite bands is Metallica. And I'm so influenced by them. And then they were so influenced by British heavy metal. But when we write, we just, like, pick up our instruments and play. And if someone thinks it sounds good, it's like, remember that. And if it doesn't, we just forget it. And then we just keep going. And it just sounds like the way it sounds. Like, we really don't try to write anything specific.
Right. Well, I'm going to go to the second song now. Between Worlds. What I heard on this is, don't know if you're familiar with a guitar player, Ronnie Montrose.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I heard Ronnie Montrose type of licks and playing that were reminiscent of the debut Montrose album. Am I out of my mind?
That's right. Oh, no. That was just another. I wrote that. I got a wah pedal. No, not a wah, a whammy. And it just had an octave on it to make it real deep and big. And I just played that groovy riff, and Aaron was like, "What's that?" I was like, "I don't know." And then, yeah, he just started singing over it. It's like, well, there's the song.
It's a terrific song, and that's what I was listening. You know, I've listened to the album a couple of times. Listened to it today before the show, and I wanted to really have some talking points on the songs and try to hear what you guys were maybe going for. And I'm saying Montrose. That's what I heard. Some of the not rip-off riffs, but just like reminding me type of things. And I'm curious, guys much younger than myself, is that Montrose debut album of any type of influence on either one of you?
I mean, I love Montrose for sure. I think that's such a great compliment because that album is a banger. It's awesome.
It's unbelievable. And it's so held up for 50 years. It's just incredible.
For sure, yeah. And like, I don't know if it had so much of an influence on that song, but I mean, I can definitely hear that groove, what you're saying. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, totally. I see where you're coming from on it.
Okay. I just like to know that I'm not crazy when I hear these things. That's awesome. I'm jotting down things and I'm saying, hopefully these guys don't look at me and say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, Jake, we got like probably the world's biggest Allman Brothers fan over here, as you see behind us.
Yeah. And
I was reading that's a, you know, something that was a big influence on you, Grand Funk Railroad, stuff like that.
Definitely a lot of that. And Steve Ray Vaughan, because my daddy was a big blues guy. And he played some guitar. Yeah, it's kind of ingrained in me where I love the, you know, the 80s metal, but I'm really like into the 70s rock, Jimi Hendrix kind of stuff, Cactus, Mountain. And so kind of having that kind of groove in metal.
That's going to come up later as we go through the songs.
Yeah, you can't forget Mountain.
Yeah. Song number three, okay? I hear a little bit of Elaine Staley, Alice in Chains vocal phrasings.
I'll say Sinful Ways is maybe my favorite track right now. You know, between that and track number two, I'm just kind of like, I pick a favorite every other, you know.
Which, even though we're, you know, old school hard rock and metal guys, I loved all the grunge stuff. Grunge got such a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as wiping out hard rock and heavy metal, and I never saw it that way. I saw it as basically the same thing.
Yeah, I never saw it that way either. I was too young, I guess, but yeah.
I know neither one of you guys are the singer, but is that an influence of his, or was he going for that sound, or?
Oh, yeah, we talked. I mean, we love Alice in Chains, so you can't listen to those harmonies and not, you know, love it. They're so like dark and evil at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's like amazing and beautiful. And you're like, all right. So, yeah, we kind of approached that way. I even think I said, like, let's get some of that, you know, Lane Staley, Chris Cornell type thing going on.
Okay.
And just start like, just layer, like just see what we could do. And yeah, it came out pretty rad.
And that's,
so yeah, that was definitely,
that's rad. There's very few, if any metal bands, I guess that's what you guys would be categorized, that would have the balls to influence a little Seattle grunge in the sound. And yeah. I liked it. So like, to me, it hit a chord, you know, like I said, this works, but like, you know, I don't think there's too many guys that would touch that, because a lot of bands feel like, oh, you know, that was, you know, the Antichrist of traditional metal, which I never viewed it that way.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that one. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they say grunge killed like the 80s scene, but
it didn't. It was pop music and gangster rap ruined the
yeah,
scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I remember seeing
Guns it was just what the record companies wanted to tell you as a rock fan, that we have a new type of rock. But in reality, they did to grunge what they did to the metal guys. 3 or 4 years into it, they dumped the whole scene.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I guess it is what it is, but we still go to those shows and they're packed, and it might not be in the media, but as you know, it's still huge.
It's like, absolutely.
It's legendary. Yeah.
Right.
So that's definitely an influence. I mean, like my problem is like, I'm not a singer and I'm not good at singing. And so I'll come up with like an idea and I forget, like, it's not a guitar where you can just tune it differently. It's like, oh, a human being has to do this. And I kind of forget about that.
Right.
And so then I see like, well, Aaron, like, could you do it? And then he does some awesome stuff.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, when we were jamming that song, I remember, because I'll usually take my phone and hit the recorder just so I can hear it back later. And when we're jamming, I can't really tell exactly what he's doing sometimes.
Right.
And I remember that one listening back being like, what the hell did he come up with that melody line? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of very unique things about this album. So I'm going to move on to song 4, which was Doomed, and hit you what I heard on this. Either one of you is familiar with a band from Sweden called The Helicopters.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, well, I got
it. Yeah, I know all about them. Yeah.
Really? I don't know.
That's what I heard in this song.
Oh, nice. That's pretty rad.
Well, check that out.
Oh, yeah.
I got two friends from Sweden, and like their favorite bands are The Helicopters and The Truck Drivers. I think that's
really
what they're called.
A Helicopter. Yeah. I love The Helicopters. Jake, if you haven't heard The Helicopters...
No, I have to check that out.
High Visibility. Start with that album.
Okay.
And if that doesn't hook you for life, nothing will.
Like, I don't know what to do with you then.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a band that you don't even know. So I can honestly say you definitely didn't rip off anything from The Helicopters. Nice. Yeah.
I would say if I had to tell somebody, you know, what you guys sound like, I would say just take the first 4 songs right there. And that to me would give a great overview of what you're going to get from you guys. Cause I think those first 4 songs are just like knock it right out of the park.
They do.
Yeah. Thanks. That's awesome.
All right. Track number 5. what I'm hearing on this is some Armored Saint.
Ooh.
That could definitely be there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Aaron and I were in that riff and he loves all that like weird. It's not obscure, but I guess it never got mainstream, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like compared to like 80s. Power metal, you would call it, right? Or
Armored Saint.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before the term power metal even existed, Armored Saint probably fit into USA power metal, even before we were calling it power. Actually, back then, it used to be called street metal. Mm. That was the term before. Yeah, we called it street metal because it was kind of a term that it was like tougher than, you know, your hair bands. And then the power metal thing really came out of Europe.
Yeah.
In the States, we used to call it in the 80s street metal. And Armored Saint were definitely a street metal band. They had that edge to them. They still do. I saw them last year open for Queensryche. They're phenomenal.
Oh, nice.
So that's what I heard on that. Again, I don't think you guys went for it, but the next track, I did hear some Mountain. Track number 6, Chemical Voodoo.
Mm.
I heard Mountain, Leslie West style phrasings in the guitar.
Yeah, that one, I listened to a lot of Mountain, so I could totally see where that comes from. And it's probably like one of those influences where you don't even know. But that was another song, like, I was, like, when I get to rehearsal, I just, like, hit my guitar as hard as I can to warm up the strings. And you have to retune them. And I just started playing that, like, the bang, I don't know, bang, I don't know. And I was like, all right. And then again, Aaron was like, what's that? I keep doing that. And then it just became a song. Yeah, and the verse, I could see how it's just total Mountain, now that you mentioned that.
Yes.
You know, that's a good way to put it. So I don't know if that was a direct influence, but it's probably definitely an influence somewhere.
That's cool.
Leslie West doesn't get the just desserts that a lot of other guys get from that scene. He was really unique and powerful player. And, you know, the riffs that band came up with him and Papalotti were just incredible. Yeah. I'm sure you know, Jake, you love Papalotti. Yeah. Papalotti was such a talent.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, that bass player with a little bit of the fuzz and everything. It's funny.
I love that, right? That fuzz that would just shake the room when you played it.
Exactly. Right? It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Grand Funk fuzz bass. Yes. But it takes the whole, like, you just feel it all.
And he played these small basses, too. Like, when you looked at him, he didn't play like a Rickenbacker. He played these small basses, but he had this tremendous sound.
Huge sound. Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to track number 7 and see, again, I go back to the Alice in Chains in this that I hear a lot, in this song a lot.
I was like, wait, which one is 7 again?
That would be way down below.
It would help if I said
way down below.
Yeah.
I
would hope you guys as the band would know what track 7 is. But.
Yeah, I was like, what's that? Right?
No, record it and forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I did my part. Now you can listen to it. But I guess we have a lot of that, a lot more than we thought. Like, because when I think of just great vocalists, like Chris Cornell and Layne Staley come to mind, especially when you think about harmonies, it's like, we need an evil harmony. Like, oh yeah, go to the early grunge stuff. Those guys were pulling the evil out of everywhere.
That's funny you say that, because I can't say in listening to the album in the last couple of weeks, like, I didn't pick up on so much the Alice in Chains stuff, and I do like them. too, but I didn't pick up on that as much. So that's interesting.
I like that you guys went that direction, because it's usually the easy route is to go to is to try to sound like Dio, you know, when you want to get that evil, you know, and you usually don't think of going Alice in Chains or, you know, but I like that because it's different. I'm, as much as I love Dio, a lot of bands have just absolutely killed that, you know, let's try to like go the Sabbath Dio type of, you know, to get that edgy. But you guys brought in the grunge, Mac, you know, mixed with the hard rock and metal sound. And I think it works great.
And that's what's kind of funny, because like when we jam, it's not like we're really going for a certain sound. It's just like he, you know, Dustin might have a riff and then I'll put my piece in there and it goes, it just totally changes genre. So there's, it's a kind of crazy all these, you know, different sounds that you guys are hearing in bands, and we're not really trying to pinpoint any of them. It's just like that just kind of came out. And it's, well, I never really thought about that.
Right.
That's cool.
So but those are the influences that are ingrained in you. So when you're playing, and it just it comes out, and you know, I'm hearing that. So
that's awesome.
So far, other than the helicopters, well, it you know, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. The last song,
Lemurian Nights.
Lemurian Nights is a really cool name.
That's a really I like that.
I'm hearing a big Saxon type of guitar vibe over again, like an Alice in Chains-y type of vocal.
I could definitely see that. And I literally think, like Aaron and I sometimes, when we were like coming up with ideas, we just like send stuff back and forth and then send it to Jake and it like ping pongs everywhere. And I think that's one of those riffs Aaron literally sent me and he goes, this kind of sounds like Saxon. See what you think. And I was like, all right.
Nice.
So yeah, but that song, I mean, that came together well, because like the chorus was, there's like no drums in it, you know, it's just like a
big
it's just like, let's see what we can just do with guitars and bass. And it's almost like the anti-structure of a song. It's like the verses and everything are huge, and then the chorus like chills out.
I feel like it gives a lot of space too, with like the vocals and every like, you know, couple drum hits, but it just gives it that big area to breathe.
It had a very the riff reminded me of like an early 80s Saxon riff.
I just saw Saxon back in back in May of this year. I just saw him.
Oh, nice.
Saxon and Uriah Heep kind of did a tour together.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a show right there.
Oh, yeah. That was a great show. Yeah. Co-headliners. I guess they did about 5 weeks in America here, and I was lucky to catch them here in Jersey.
That's so cool.
So what are the plans for the band now? Touring? What's your next step to get more recognition?
We're going to start playing shows again. Like I said, I was talking to you guys earlier, we haven't even played a show since the album came out. I think the release of the album was the same day as Jake having a kid.
Really? Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was all of a sudden. I remember it was the day, the album's out. And I'm like, by the way, we're in labor. So I'll see you guys in about a month.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, we got some shows booked now. We're going to start doing that. We pretty much have a second album written.
Really?
We just keep saying, we're like, we're going to do a 5-song EP. And it's like maybe 6. And now it's like up to 8. But we have like 20 more songs. Like it just keeps flowing and flowing.
Wow.
Yeah. The plan is to just keep moving forward. Hopefully we'll tour. I mean, with the budget now these days, it's crazy. So we're trying to like, we're trying to get over to you because, the East Coast seems to have a pretty awesome scene with like the new wave of British heavy metal. It seems to be like kind of a comeback over
there. You got to book into Brooklyn. That's where all the clubs are. There's a big scene in Brooklyn.
Yeah, a lot of European, you know, people that came over from there settle in Brooklyn, and they just kind of bring that with them.
There's a big scene. There's a load of metal clubs in Brooklyn. All the Canadian metal bands play over there. I've seen Stryker there and Cauldron.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's... There's a nice scene over there.
Oh, I follow the St. Vitus scene, but I heard that place is closing down.
They closed, but there's rumors that they're opening up again. I've seen like about at least probably 20, 30 shows there. And
yeah, I follow a couple bands from New York on Instagram. They're always posting from St. Vitus. And I was like, that just looks like a riot. Hmm. But yeah, someone's like, it's closing. And I was like, but hopefully that's not true.
Well, they got closed for like a building violation. That's what it was. It wasn't like they closed because they weren't making money. They have like bands 7 nights a week. That place makes money. I've gone there a lot. And every time you go in there, it's packed. There was some building code violation that they closed, but I heard that they're going to reopen again. But there's probably at least 10 other places like St. Vitus in that little area in Brooklyn.
Nice. Yeah, we definitely got to get out there. We'll do the second album and then, I mean, hopefully we get out there.
I was going to ask you guys, how did you guys are, and I'm sorry, I forgot the name. What's the label that you got the new albums out on?
Rock Shots.
And they're out of Italy, right?
Yes.
How did you guys hook up with them?
We did the recording and we were just going to do everything ourselves. And then Aaron just started shopping it around and sent some emails out and they heard it and responded like real positively.
Okay.
And they were like, we want to put this out. And we're like, all right, yeah, let's give it a try.
Nice. So how do you guys, I mean, from a younger band standpoint, as far as like nowadays, it seems a lot of bands, they either go that independent route and they're more about the digital. You see a lot on Bandcamp, you know, sometimes they'll offer physical product. Sometimes it's just download type of thing. What are your feelings towards that? Cause Tom and I, we're old guys and we like the physical product. We want CDs in our hands, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, we made CDs. Yeah. I told some people like, we're making CDs. And they were like, why?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, do we even have a CD player?
I'm going to tell you why. And Mark touched on it a little bit. And I could tell I'm a huge CD collector and I'm in touch with every CD collector in the world. The music you guys are playing has a lot of older hard rock metalheads. And we grew up with physical product and we never walked away from it. So even if you do a 500 press or a 300 press of CD, you have to, and I tell this to bands all the time that I like and that I would have liked to have been more involved with, but they won't do a CD press. They won't even do a cassette press. It's just download. And I try to tell them you're alienating a part of a base. I know when you go to shows, there might be a lot of young dudes there, but the guys behind the scenes like us are buying the product. Like you'll see right here, we both have CDs.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you should go out and, you know, press a couple of thousand of them, but you got to press a couple of hundred to at least, you know, keep that base interested, because we're of the mindset, if we don't have physical product, it's in one ear and out the other, you know? So it's, I try to tell this to, I mean, you guys already got it. You put out the CD, you get it, but I've tried to tell this to other bands who don't seem to get it. They think just download is the way to go. And you know, we don't really give a shit about the 50 and 60 year old guys, but where the guys sending money to Bandcamp?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
we're a little older too, but, I mean, I grew up on CDs. So it was always like, that became a goal. You start a band and it was like, get a CD in your hand, you know, like in the late 90s, it was like, this is my CD.
Yeah.
And I guess even now, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's like you said, it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear it all you want, but once you get that physical item in your hand and you like look at it, you're like, all right, it's like,
oh, you got
still
it.
Special to me. Yeah.
Because if you grew up in the era stuff. That we, or especially me, I go back, you know, late 60s and 70s, that product in your hand, you felt like you had a connection with the band. Like to this day, when I get something, I read who produced it, who the songwriters are, you know, like you get like a connection to the band. To me, a download is just, it's empty. It's like, you know, I'm not interfacing with you guys the way I am now. It just, it doesn't connect with me. But when I get the physical product, I order a t-shirt, I feel like I'm, you know, I'm backing the band, connecting with the band. And us older guys think that way because that's how we were brought up. Maybe not the 20-year-old guys that follow you, but you guys did do a CD, so you get it at least. I mean, there's a lot of bands that don't seem to get it.
Yeah, thanks. We thought about doing some vinyl too. We might get to that.
Okay.
I guess that's from what I've heard from other bands. That's an expensive endeavor.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very expensive, and it's, I guess, not that many people make vinyl anymore.
So I was just going to say there's not a lot of places to press it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really expensive, and then I think we got a quote like 7 months out would be like the earliest that they could get anything.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Done. Yeah. So we're like, we'll wait on that and see what happens.
the next album, think about it.
Yeah, the second album.
There you go.
I mean, the vinyl to a large degree, my personal opinion, I think it's a novelty. It was dead for so long that it became like, you know, it became hip because it was dead for 50 years, 40 years.
Hmm. Yeah.
I still think the CD is a better product in terms of the size and no skipping and hissing and clicks and pop. Yet now you hear people say, oh, you know, I like the warmth of the clicks and pops. I mean, yeah, I don't get that, but I've actually heard people say that, you know.
Yeah.
CDs are too clean sounding. I like the clicks and the pops. So I don't
Me
know.
Too.
Yeah, there you go.
You do? You like the clicks and pops?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got vinyl. I have vinyl and I love it. It's kind of
Oh, you're a vinyl guy. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, we would love to do vinyl. It's just like Dustin was saying, it's kind of the budget. And
yeah,
I don't know how many people would also buy it too. I know that definitely, you know, the older generation and people our age will definitely do it. But.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing I do miss with the vinyl was the big opening up the gate.
The spread and just look at all the artwork. And that's that's kind of some of the artwork we have. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
In it.
CD does not capture that, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is a shortcoming with CDs. But physical, I'm glad you guys are doing physical product because you're at least keeping old guys like us in the loop.
There you go.
Yeah, keep the seat alive, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any social Facebook pages and stuff? That we can keep up on the band or an actual website?
Facebook and Instagram. I don't even think we have a website.
Oh, okay.
I think Bandcamp is our website.
Just Bandcamp. Okay. We'll plug all those when we do a nice little closing credits thing. And I wanted to ask you guys, and we do this. We started this a couple episodes ago. When we do our YouTube versions, we always put a little like an intro page with like a banner and we'll put pictures up and stuff. And then we'll feature the interview like we're doing now. But at the end, we run a little kind of a credits thing, and we like to do like an outro song. And Tom and I usually end up picking that. But you guys, between you two guys, pick a song maybe from the new album that you would want us to feature. We'll play like a minute and a half as we kind of fade out of the episode. Is there a certain song you guys would want us to play?
I'd say play your guys' favorite song.
Well, definitely, if I had to choose one, I think it's also one of my favorites, at least playing live, is Sinful Ways, just because it's that ending is such a, it was just a jam, and it's probably one of my favorite parts of the album, and playing it live is awesome. So, I mean, I really like that one.
I was going to say, like I said before, you know, I think the first listen to the album, Sinful Ways, just jumped out at me. I mean, lately, I think I've been going with Between Worlds, maybe it kind of shifting to another favorite there. But I think right off the bat, Sinful Ways kind of caught my attention.
Good choice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Guys, we really appreciate it. Again, Age of the Euphonaut, Jupiter.
I was actually going to ask you one more question. Sorry about that. Sure. I was wondering, like, how did you guys find it?
You can answer that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how I felt. On a European Facebook page, somebody had posted a song, and I hadn't heard what it was. I saw the cover. The cover looked pretty cool, and I just put it. It was on somebody's, a European guy's Facebook hard rock page, and nice. He had a cover of it and a song, and I listened to the song, and I liked it, looked it up, saw it was on Bandcamp, listened to a few more songs. I ordered it, then I told Mark. And,
it must have been that afternoon. He sent me the email. He's like, have you heard of these guys? And I'm like, not at all.
Yeah.
And I just typed, I Googled it up, and I seen the Bandcamp page, and I think I got two songs in, and I ordered it. So.
Oh, nice.
That is so awesome. Yeah, that's good to know. Rad.
I mean, one of the real positive things is there's still a great scene in Europe for this music. Mm-hmm. It may totally suck in parts of the United States, but it doesn't in Europe. And a lot of other countries, Brazil, Japan, it's still big in Japan and Brazil and a lot of places all over the world. So, I this will be good for you guys because I know we do have a lot of European listeners.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, awesome. Again, Dustin and Jake from Jupiter Cyclops, we appreciate the time, guys. Really do.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we do too. Yeah, thank you so much for having us on.
Awesome. It's a pleasure.
Well, we'll keep maybe in touch. Album number two, we can talk to you guys again.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So appreciate your time, guys. Thanks
again.
All right. Rock on.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.